you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Mark Striegel,
John Astronomy,
the Talking Metal Podcast, coming to you from the Silver Spacecraft. I'm Bud Friendly, and now your hosts, Mark and John.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. John Astronomy here from the Silver Spacecraft, Jersey City, New Jersey location. On the telephone is Mark Striegel.
Skype. I don't know if that's technically Skype. Phone. Skype phone.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. There's a picture of a phone, but it's
right.
Technically
not.
A phone.
Yeah, but we're here, and I hope it sounds like we're in the same room. Usually, John and I have a real. Pretty decent connection. I don't hear any hiss or anything. So it's all good. Did you see now? First of all, the Silver Spacecraft. If you guys are newer to the podcast and you don't know what that is, we used to refer to the Talking Metal home base studio, which was I think technically in your old apartment in Pavonia, Newport. Which John has since moved into a higher class neighborhood in Jersey City. But we used to call that the Silver Spacecraft. And why did we call it the Silver Spacecraft? I don't really even know why we...
You know, I think Bud Friendly may have coined the term Silver Spacecraft to refer to where we were recording podcasts, which was the original studio. And then... Somehow, I began calling the current studio / music room in my current apartment Silver Spacecraft. And I'm trying to look. There are silver things in here. We've got two silver keyboards, a Korg and a Yamaha. We've got mirrored Randall amps. We've got Eric Carr's chrome.
These are all things in John's apartment, guys, believe it or not. Yeah.
Chrome drum kit.
Not to mention dozens and dozens of Les Pauls.
Yes. I had a scandal, I'll tell you this, with one of my Les Pauls last night. I have a Les Paul Supreme. Now, this is an insane guitar. Les Paul Supremes are crazy just to begin with. They're made by Gibson USA. They have an amazing flame top. They have an amazing flame maple back with no control cavities. So, guys, if you want to do work on your pickups, you got to go through the front. And that is really, really difficult for any people who work on guitars. But picture the back that has no little control cavity.
Why is that? Is it a sound
just,
thing
or
just?
Nah, it's like it's made almost like a 335 where they don't have anything in the back. And it's a kind of a semi hollow body with, the back is also arched. Like, you know how Les Paul front is not flat on like a regular Les Paul standard?
Yeah.
The back is like that, too. And it's a beautiful, beautiful guitar. I'll send you a photo. Maybe we can post it. I know it's not that hot of a photo, but I'll send you one because it's worth looking at. But the problem is that the climate in the Silver Spacecraft studio is not always the same. And the lacquer seem to crack all around the perimeter of the binding. Some, and you know, and you can feel the thing, and you can even see a little bit of couple of chips. So, I mean, this is like the top of the line guitar, and it's got some slight cosmetics flaws to it now. But I'm going to get over it. I'm still slightly upset, but anyway, that's what's happening. Right. What else do I have? I got a Kiss pinball machine in here. I've got. You're going to laugh when you hear this. I've got 6 Randall heads and a Marshall head, and wow. I'm going to be taking one of these Randall heads to Guitar Center and trading it in. No offense. I love Randall heads, but like I said, I've got 6 of them, and I just bought like 3 heads. I also bought a Vox head, and I'm using the Vox head with Like It now. That is the official Like It sound, powered by Vox, V-O-X. Right, check that out.
Like It is John's band, and you definitely got to check out Like It if you haven't heard like them. It. Maybe we can do a song from Like It later in the episode.
Yeah, that would be great, actually. You know what? We have some rough mixes together. We have some real stuff together, so but maybe we'll surprise everybody, and I will let everybody hear a work in progress, which is a rough mix that we're working on right now of a recording that we're not even done with yet, of the song My Way by Like It. So maybe we'll put that in there at the end of the thing.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Mark. I discovered a new band thanks to Mike Lincoln, drummer of Captain T and Astronomy, drummer of Astronomy and Captain T, drummer of Like It, drummer of The Victims, drummer of Electric Frankenstein, drummer of Laughing Sky. He's in every band. Also, former drummer of Sticky. In almost every New York band, he's been the drummer. Remember when Jim Hennigan said, I've been in a mall?
Right.
And the guy goes, in a mall? And he goes, no, I've been in _EM. All A-L-L. I've been in and out of all the bands. That's Mike Lincoln. He's been in and out of all the bands.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyway.
A veteran of the New York rock scene. Great drummer, great guy.
He turned me on to a band that you listeners of Talking Metal may very well know, especially you listeners over in the far, far east, as we like to say in our Like It tunes. They are called Band Made. Band-MAID. They are 5 great, really cool girls from Japan who rock the hell out of anything they do. And I want to play a song called Thrill. I believe that's the name of the tune, Thrill. Let me double check that. They are just awesome. Let me tell you. Now, there are groups like Baby Metal that are really cool where they sing and they have like a backing, you know, killer metal band playing. But and that's great, too. But Band Made is a band where they are playing these instruments and they are awesome. My favorite song is called Thrill, THRILL. And you can see the video all over. But these guys are great.
Cool. Let's check it out right now.
I truly like it. So why don't we get into it? Thrill by Band Made right here on Talking Metal. That was Thrill by Band Maid, released 2015 by a great band from Japan called Band Maid. Five great gals who rock.
Cool. And John, I want to play a track which, you know, this band, I was never into them back in the day. Why? I don't know. I think I just wasn't really exposed to them that much. But The Obsessed. Do you know these guys?
I've heard of The Obsessed.
Lino was in The Obsessed.
Yeah, I don't know all the details about them.
The great band. This is going way back to. I don't either. I just know that I've recently really dove into their first record, which was reissued recently, and just can't believe I really missed these guys the first time around. The Obsessed. This is going back to 1990 off that first self-titled record. This is Tombstone Highway. That was The Obsessed with Tombstone Highway. Buy it on iTunes, guys.
Very cool, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Scott Wino. I don't even know how you pronounce his last name, but he was in that band St. Vitus, I believe, for a while.
Yeah.
Remember St. Vitus? Yeah.
Were they a New York band? St. Vitus?
I'm not sure.
Oh, no, that's a club in New York called St. Vitus.
Yeah. St. Vitus, I want to say, was from Los Angeles, and they were like way back in the late 70s, I think.
Oh, okay.
Like doom metal band, you know. But there is a great bar. Have you been to that bar in Greenpoint,
Brooklyn?
I haven't.
I want to go to both of these. Let's do a thing like in the next 3 weeks, 2 weeks, if you have free time, where we go on a little bar crawl to St. Vitus and to Duff's. That would be great.
Yeah, and then there's one other metal bar in Brooklyn called Lucky 13, which is...
I did not know about
that. Yeah, I mean, they're not in walking distance from one another, but, you know, if you have a Lyft car, you can go between the three of them, and it's a good night. We should definitely do a little talking metal bar crawl. That would be fun.
Right.
Yeah,
that would
absolutely
be amazing.
Let's do it.
Speaking of some of the fun stuff that we have done, I've been getting into a band, and I'm going to give you a hint on who the lead singer is of this band. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, and before you guess, I'm going to say that we interviewed them. We interviewed the singer twice. Once.
Ooh. All right.
In Los Angeles. Oh no, not Los Angeles. Once near the Long Beach Arena outside, and that's in California, USA. Okay. And then we interviewed him once outside, I believe, of either Irving Plaza or another venue. And that time we were on a tour bus and people were drinking wine.
Right. Dez from Devil Driver.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So, very good.
And Mark, you're generous when you call that thing a tour bus that he was in front of Irving Plaza. That was like an RV, it was like almost a converted van. I remember it was definitely, I wouldn't have called it a tour bus, but it
tour
was.
Yeah. I remembered it. We were indoors and it was a vehicle, so I just assumed.
Yeah,
it
seemed like a 1985 like RV or something like that. But yeah,
that's
all right.
Funny.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah,
called
so
a tour
Dez.
Bus.
Now, I'm going way back to Cold Chamber, and there's a lot of crazy stuff with this. Okay, now, I want to play a song. I'm going to tell you the title right now. Loco, it's I believe, debut album from Cold Chamber.
Yeah, I know the
which
song.
Which was
definitely
titled Cold Chamber. And here's the funny thing. The video has Ozzy in it. Now, it doesn't completely look like Ozzy, but it says on the internet it's Ozzy, and I believe that it is Ozzy. And if you look at it, it probably does look exactly like Ozzy, but he's got makeup on and like white makeup, almost like.
Which makes sense, because Sharon was managing Cold Chamber for a while. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, here's the funny thing. I've been known to do some stuff that people have thought was a little out there, a little odd. And one of them was wearing creeper shoes, and I used to wear them all over the place. Now, the first thing you see in this video is the Ozzy puts his foot out of an ice cream truck, and he's got a white creepers on. Now, if you guys know, okay, so that's one thing. So creepers, I've been associated with creepers, and I totally forgot about this until yesterday. Now, the funny thing is that if you look at if any of you guys know who Like It Is, you'll see that I've reinvented the new image for myself, where I wear like these biker jackets that are usually some kind of shiny material, either silver, black, or red,
right.
And then I wear this like police style, military style officer hat with like a star in it, kind of a la Robin Zander of Cheap Trick, or the guys in L.A. Guns or Faster Pussycat, or even Guns N' Roses used to wear these hats, and I'm sure other bands did too. And so I had this idea. I ought to do one where I wear a white biker jacket and a white one of these officer hats. And, of course, when Ozzy steps out of this ice cream truck,
right,
he's got the creepers on like I wear that are white, and then he's got a white outfit, and he's got one of these white – what. I jokingly refer to as a police hat, but it's more of like a military, I don't know, police, military, whatever. Different bands have different takes on these hats. But I couldn't believe it. I was like, how cool is that? That Ozzy's like doing this. And the song Loco is just great. You know what? Jay Gordon of Orgy fame produced that.
Oh,
and
okay.
There's I don't even know what this genre was called. Do you know what that was called? Like, this was in like the 97 era.
I guess I'd call it like nu metal. I mean, I don't know, nu metal.
Like nu dash metal, is that what that was? Now, let me ask you, Mark, because you are definitely more in touch with and in tune, as they say, with what's happening right now. Is this genre still around? Is it dead? Is it, you know, what's going on?
It's still around. I mean, we recently had Spider from Power Man 5000 on the show, and I mean, they kind of fall into that genre, and they have a great record out right now. But yeah, I mean, all these bands are still out there doing it. Korn,
right?
Deftones, Stuck Mojo. Yep. I don't know what's up with Limp Bizkit. I haven't heard about them in a while. But you know,
I know
Papa Roach is still out there.
Yeah.
Cold Chamber. I mean, these guys. I saw Cold Chamber play at Heavy Montreal like two, 3 years ago. They got back together with Dez. You know, I don't know. Some people might put System of a Down in that category. Linkin Park, of course, they were
now,
still doing
that. Are we saying that, or is this...
Even Disturbed.
Yeah. Now, is this a style that originated in California?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
know who
cause Dez is from Santa Barbara, I believe, and you know, Orgy, I always consider them an LA band, and
yeah,
Orgy has one of my favorite guitar players. I have two favorite guitar players from this genre. Amir, I think his last name is pronounced Derek, from previously of Rough Cut, then in Orgy. And Meigs Rascone from Cold Chamber. I love both of these guys. I think they're great. They're great guitar players. I love their playing. They're cool. And that is a genre. Like, they're,
right.
Those two guys' vibes I really liked. I even have a Jackson Roswell Rhodes guitar, which is very similar to the guitars that Amir played in Orgy. I think he even had a Jackson signature that was,
I mean,
like, based
Orgy
on
is a band I could almost... consider them industrial metal, but maybe they're new metal.
Right.
I don't know. They're kind of like on the fence there. But yeah, I kind of associate all that stuff as like a California thing. Like, but you know, almost more instead of like Los Angeles, it's more like, you know, Orange County. It feels like it was more a suburban thing. I'm just talking out of
right.
my ass here, guys. Correct me if I'm
right.
wrong.
Hey,
but I know, like Rage Against the Machine, although they weren't really like new metal, they kind of in a way laid the groundwork for that. I'd even put Stuck Mojo as one of the innovators, and they, I believe they're from like Georgia or something. So I think it's from all over, but I think it mostly came from California in the beginning with, you know, bands like Korn and the Deftones and stuff like that.
Nice. Yeah, it's definitely a cool thing.
Cold Chamber. I mean, Cold Chamber is from California, right?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Now, here's what I couldn't believe, though. When I went back to watch this video for Loco, the guys and girls and gals, as Ace would like to say, in the band, Raina Fox, they look so young. I mean, I look like a grandfather compared to these guys. I mean, now, that was, granted, 1996, but... if you watch the video for Loco and you see Raina, the first person that Ozzy goes up to, to me it looks like a kid. Like, it's just so funny that, Mark, we've been doing this metal stuff a long time.
Yeah, we got,
you know?
What happened? We grew old.
We grew old. Yeah, we're still rocking, and I don't think we're going to stop rocking.
And
me and you are going to see Dan Lorenzo at this Ace show, and I think that means one thing and one thing only. Dingbats gig.
Yeah,
we got to do another gig.
I was at Dingbats a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, you went to the That Metal Show thing. Look, I'm confusing it.
Yeah, That Metal Show, the Christmas party, and I was talking with the owner of Dingbats, and he was like, oh, I'm so bummed you guys canceled. You got to do
Is that Frank?
Yeah, I think it's Frank. I forgot his name. But you know the guy I'm talking about. And he was like, you got to reschedule. Let's do this. So, yeah, let's ask Dan when we can reschedule and
get
do
in
that.
There and do it. Do it up because we got to get out and play again, Mark, because not only are Mark and I metal fans, and we're fans just like all of you listeners are fans. We never claim to be, you know, there's been some controversies in the past. We never claim to be, you know, the all-knowing experts and authorities on anything. I mean, Mark, I consider you sort of an authority on things because you are really up in a lot of things. And I when you come out with like a new like top 10 list or this or that, I'm interested in hearing what you have to say.
Oh, cool.
And I really think that you've grown into something where a lot of people want to hear what you have to say, which is great. I hope people respect what I like, but I'm just a random dude who's a fan just as well. I know a lot of crazed facts about the 80s and metal, and just like all of us, all the real metalheads know all this stuff. It's almost like a prerequisite. Like, you know, you can name all the Maiden records in order. You can name all the Kiss albums in order. You can name all the Priest albums in order. You can name the Sabbath records in order. It's like... that was just sort of like a prerequisite to living in our generation, I think. But, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what? This is just kind of random, John. But while we're doing a show here together, and I know we're gonna let's hit the Coldplay song. Right? We didn't play that yet. Let's hit that.
Yeah. No.
Back.
What band is it? What band?
or Coldplay. Cold Chamber.
Coldplay. I wouldn't hear Clocks by Coldplay. Yeah, is that their song,
no,
Clocks?
No. Cold Chamber. Let's hit the Cold Chamber. Okay. Yeah.
This is Loco by Cold Chamber.
Guys, that was a little Cold Chamber here on Talking Metal. I'm Mark Striegel. We got John Astronomy with us. John, we're going to end with some Like It, but real quick, I didn't even tell you we're going to do this because I just thought of it. I got this email in. It says, hi Mark, I love the new music, but I also love the old music. I am sad to hear the news of Chuck Mosley today. This came in a while ago when Chuck Mosley from ex-Faith No More singer died. I was a fan of Faith No More since my brother had an imported copy of Introduce Yourself when it came out, and when they finally made it to New Zealand in 1992 with Mike Patton, of course, that was the first time I ever went to a major concert, and to this day it's one of my favorites. But sadly, I never got to see Faith No More with Chuck. Maybe you could play Introduce Yourself or something else from that album. Yeah, we will do that, and we're going to do something else real special. We're going to revisit an interview that John did with Chuck Mosley and another guy. Do you remember who the other guy was?
Yeah, Mark, that was Michael Seifert of Chuck's band, Vandals Against Illiteracy, right. Also known as VUA. We also had Eric from White Wizard on that same show that we did that.
Right. Well, we won't play that part of it, but let's listen to that interview that you did with those guys, Chuck Mosley and Michael of Vandals Against Illiteracy. This is going back to 2009, and then we'll play the song that was requested. Introduce yourself, right?
Right. This, what we're about to hear, getting into the interview, is a remake of the classic Faith No More song, We Care a Lot. And I can't wait to hear this. It's one of my favorite Faith No More songs, the song that really turned me on to this band. First thing I ever heard of Faith No More, James Hetfield had a T-shirt of theirs. And shortly after, I heard the song, We Care a Lot, and I was sold ever since that moment. Chuck, what a history. I mean, everything from playing with Faith No More to Bad Brains and his great solo stuff here. He's been involved in so much great stuff, and it is an honor to have him on the podcast.
No doubt. And what's really cool about this particular track, Roddy Bottom from Faith No More recorded this with Chuck. So, special guest appearance by Roddy on this song.
Cool. Well, let's check this out. This is Chuck Mosley with We Care a Lot, the Faith No More classic, a remade version of it, and we're going to get right into the interview that John conducted with Chuck about a month ago here in New York City.
In the story, what a feeling, never known as God. Took your advice and tried to realize what I was buying. The faces of the walking dead have left an image crying. Then the tomorrow. Spotting flames, mom and cured kids. About Metropolis is falling under siege. About the little things in life, like violent engagements and personal strife. About the fact that I can still get paid for doing this song, yeah. I really care about the fact that I can still get CDs from Tupac. We really, really need that. We care a lot about little kids, a bigger kid. Care about the young and the wicked, evil and smart, naked and stupid. I care a lot about the little man who wanted it all but couldn't have it. Oh, it's a dirty job and someone's got it. The street. Will she make it? I hope so. I sure do. About all the stuff and things that happen, blow like, you know, to you. I care a lot about all the stuff that I have never seen. I care about stuff that people said and what they really mean. Yeah. We care a lot about misled ambitions of all the innocent. We work in the spiritual, intelligent, visceral, playing on which innocence was born to replenish the pain of innocence. Tell you the truth, I'm not sure I care about all that shit, but I'll tell you what, I gotta keep on rolling, 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 rolling.
Oh, it's a dirty job, somebody's got a demon name. Oh, it's a dirty job, if someone's got a
Astronomy. Welcome to Talking Metal and Talking Rock. I'm very honored today because I have two great guests here with me at the Gibson Guitar Showroom. Chuck Mosley, who you guys know from a bunch of great bands like Faith No More and Bad Brains and Cement. And we've got Michael Seifert. How you guys doing?
Fine. It's a little chilly in this room, but otherwise doing good.
Good deal. How you doing, Michael?
Doing great. I don't care about the cold. It's good.
Chuck, we're going to start out with you, and I love the name Vandals Against Illiteracy, and I had to write it out properly spelled because it's such a cool spelling. Now, how did you guys come up with the new band and the new album?
As far as the title goes, when I moved to Cleveland, I was went into a bar and was using the urinal, and it was written right above it, and I just had to have it in some capacity. And this became it. So, but then we connected my name to it for the recognition and all that crap.
I wanted to mention that because for the first release, the title is going to be Chuck Mosley and the Vandals Against Illiteracy. Right. But then after that, you said you're going to drop that.
I mean, I would love to. If it mattered, if this record did anything, then I could afford to drop the Chuck Mosley off of it. Yeah.
Cool. And this is your label, right?
Yeah, it is. And Chuck's a modest guy, you know. He's a jokester and he's a funny guy. And the fact of the matter is you know, Chuck isn't really concerned about getting the attention on himself. He's about the music. And I respect that.
Just a lot of weight to bear.
it may be a lot of weight to bear, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, people are looking to see, you know, if you go on Google.com or, you know, whatever, you know, you look up, you know, a Google search of Chuck Mosley or whatever, people are interested in knowing what he's up to. If it was up to him, he'd leave his name off this completely and just be about the music. But, you know, there's a business end to this, too. So we want people to be able to find him, whether he likes it or not.
Yeah. I understand the business side, so I'm going with it.
Well, it's so refreshing to meet somebody with such a huge history who is as modest as you are, because believe me, we all know a bunch of people who in the business who are not like that. So it's nice to hear that somebody is just really concerned about making some great music, and we're honored that you're here. And I want to talk about the album, and looking at the title of the album, the word rap is prominently there. But on the album, you're singing on most of the tunes. There's really only a couple of songs that you're rapping on. Now, how did that come about?
Miraculously, I learned how to sing one day, and I decided to employ that newfound skill. Back when I did that other stuff that, you know, that people are naming me for their influence, I could sing, but I couldn't hear a melody as much, and that's what made me do that way, that style, and just kind of, you know, with Faith No More and whatnot. So I've always liked to sing. I just always haven't been that good at it, but I got so good that I could do it on 80% of this record just about. So, you know, maybe there'll be some more rapping over hard rock on the next record, but probably not much. Every once in a while, yeah, you know, it's just a style I turn back to and stuff, just because it's kind of become me, part of me.
Very cool. Now, Mike, you are playing drums in addition to producing the album and engineering as well, right?
Yeah, I played quite a bit on the record, everything from drums to bass to guitar and some keyboards and programming. The record was basically made, you know, and Chuck will tell the story about, you know, getting ripped off about 10 years ago by another producer. You know, this record's been a long time in coming, really. Chuck's always had this in him, and unfortunately, he got some bad breaks along the way. And basically, you know, I came in to the picture about 10 years ago while he was getting those bad breaks, and you know, I always really loved the material. I think, you know, above and beyond anything else, you know, Chuck's the first person to admit that he's not the most technically proficient singer in the world. You know, he gets asked this question every interview, and we've done a bunch today already. It's not about that. You know, to me, Chuck Mosley is the punk rock Bob Dylan, and he's a songwriter, and he is a master of his craft in that area. And to me, his voice, you know, perfect, flawed, whatever you want to call it, love it or hate it, you know, there's emotion in it. It communicates a message, and I think that's something that's very rare in modern music. And that's why I stuck with this project, and that's why eventually we got together and we made this record. And I think that's, you know, how we got people like Jonathan Davis, John Five, Michael, you know, Cataloni, you know, all these other people that were, you know, willing and able to, you know, come to the table and go, yeah, we want to be a part of this. You know, I think that's what they saw in it too.
Very cool. I'll tell you, speaking of just technical proficiency, I think truly, and I think everybody would agree with me, that the people that have stood the test of time and that are considered the greats in any style of music weren't necessarily technically proficient. Like Mick Jagger might not be the greatest vocalist, but I think he sure has a huge impact on music, way more than, you know, somebody.
He can dance better than almost anybody, like, ever.
Good deal, guys. I wanted to mention that the cool thing for me about the record is that not only is it new material, it's, you know, a new band and new stuff, but you do revisit your past in a couple of places. There are the two songs that were cement songs, and then I'll get to some of the other stuff. But what I liked about that, and it's the way I feel about writing as well, is that you mentioned in a previous interview that you felt that those songs never properly saw the light of day, and that's why you wanted them on this record. And I totally understand what you're saying. Tell me about that.
Yeah, actually, Pile Driver is the one that actually made it to the record. We have a couple from Cement that we're gonna do. Yeah, it's just like when we were setting out to tour that record, we got an accident. I broke my back. Everybody knows that, and they just kind of got shelved. So, you know, I thought, you know, I honestly just, you know, no matter who made them, just happens that we did, that I did, but that they shouldn't go without being heard at one point or another. And this band, you know, is really strong, so capable of doing those kind of songs. And there's another Faith No More song I'd like to do again from the first record that Billy wrote, you know. So I like covering songs, you know, mine or anybody else's, but there's so much material, we had to put a stop to it already and cut it off at 10 for this record because they were getting kind of long. So hopefully by the next record, we'll get some more of that stuff out and some more brand new stuff.
Without a doubt, your fans are definitely hungry for this record, and there's so many treats on it too, because you mentioned Faith No More. Roddy is on the album with you?
Roddy's playing on the new version of We Care A Lot that we have. I figured those two versions, there just had to be a third. I mean, why not?
And all with you singing them.
With me singing them and dealing with more current events, current issues. Well, more current now than way back then. Maybe not as current today as a couple of years ago when we started writing it, but yeah.
Well, you guys have influenced so many people and really are one of the founders of a whole new genre of music that has spawned great bands like Korn. And then there are the bands that are, you know, there's a band called Lacuna Coil from Italy who are heavily influenced by Korn. But what they are really is influenced by you guys through Korn. And it's an amazing thing to hear all these people like Jonathan Davis and people even like Iggy Pop coming out to pay homage to you guys.
That's one of the things. I mean, I think Chuck is a pretty humble guy in general, and he doesn't like to take credit, you know, as much as maybe he even should for what he's contributed to modern music. I had the opportunity to work with Jonathan on the single Enabler when we were out in L.A. For Chuck's record, and it was one of those things where, you know, Chuck's a fan of what Korn does. They've expressed that they're a fan of what he's done, you know. We hooked it up. We went out to L.A. We cut his guest appearance on the single, and Jonathan, you know, went on and on and on about basically, you know, saying Korn wouldn't even be a band if it wasn't for Chuck Mosley, you know. And I think a lot of people misconstrue, you know, that, and you know, a lot of people are caught up in this whole like Mike Patton, Chuck Mosley, you know, feud or whatever that doesn't even exist. And the fact of the matter is, both those guys respect each other, you know. Mike Patton is a fan of what happened with Faith No More before he joined it. Chuck Mosley, you know, appreciates what Mike Patton did with Faith No More after he exited the band. But to work with somebody like Jonathan and literally have him sit there and say something along the lines of, you know, like, look, we wouldn't even be doing this if it wasn't for Introduce Yourself. You know, that's what I think people miss sometimes. And Sometimes I wish Chuck wasn't so modest about what he's actually contributed, much to my dismay. But
Yeah, well, I decided next year I won't take the compliments as much as still, but I will take cash.
Hey, that's the right way to be. That is absolutely the right way to be. So I wanted to talk about who is going to be in the band when you take this out onto the road, because I know you did one show opening for Korn.
Right. Well, actually, there's a band that's on Mike's label that I met that's been helping me out. They're called Ceterum, and a couple of those guys, drummer and bass player and guitar player, are helping out. And then I have my guitar player, Tim Parnin, that's been playing with me ever since I moved to Cleveland. And then a while ago, they had my drummer Doug from Cement, but then he moved back cross country and had to do his own thing. So when we first go out, it'll probably be the lineup that we have right now, with some guys from Ceterum and then some other guys from my old school. And as we're taking a little further on the road, start, you know, just piecing together, picking and choosing the more permanent band. You know, certain people just fit playing with me. People some understand me and stuff, and are really good musicians. And one thing I know about not being the best singer and not being the best guitar player is I know how to surround myself with really good musicians to make everything else come out good. So that's right now it's kind of like Ceterum is playing with us, the shows that we do. And, you know, while that's happening, we're steadily putting together a permanent band, you know, all around. So
yeah, I mean, it's really a work in progress, much like the record was. And, you know, the first go around, you know, 10 years ago, Chuck tried to make this record and unfortunately got ripped off by somebody claiming to be a producer. And, you know, Chuck tried to fund this record himself, and I was kind of brought into that. And it wasn't a very good situation, but I always believed in the songs and pretty much made a vow to Chuck that if there was ever a time where I could commit to actually doing this record and helping him get it out, that I would. And it took a long time to get to that point, but we finally got there. And, you know, much like the record was kind of a studio project where we kind of picked and choose, you know, musicians as we went along, from Michael Cardelloni, who's been the drummer for Lynyrd Skynyrd for 10 years, to getting, you know, Jonathan and John Five involved, and then obviously Tim Parnin and myself, and, you know, Chuck played quite a bit of guitar on the record as well, and obviously wrote, you know, 99% of the songs on there. The live band's going to be no different. It's going to be one of those things that evolves, and when it's working, great, it's working. If we need to make changes, we'll make changes. It's really about Chuck's music and making sure that gets communicated the right way to, you know, his fans. And that's what, you know, we're most interested in, is just sharing this music with people.
So, Chuck, I wanted to ask you, what songs on the album mean the most to you, and what are your favorite ones?
Let's see. Enabler is one of my favorite, then Come Around and Bob Forrester, two others are my favorite, and the song Nameless became one of my favorites now, my friend Lulu started singing on it. I haven't been able to settle in on one yet. I like Come Around a lot, you know, just for personal reasons, and I like them all, though. It's hard to say. This is a record that we started realizing that there was really not any filler on here. There's maybe a little bit of filler, so I guess that would be something that I didn't name. But Pile Driver is another cool song, which has been done before, but it's just got a whole new life to it, you know. I don't know.
Well, I think that's the key to the fact that we know it's going to be a great album, because you can't really say, well, you know, there's three killer tunes and, you know, the rest are just okay. They're all great, and believe me, I love the record, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Last question, and then we're going to take a tour of the Gibson showroom here, which has a lot of history as well. I want to know, what does Chuck Mosley listen to right now? What kind of music? What kind of bands?
Well, when I'm driving around and taking kids here and there, I've been listening to a lot of classical music lately. I hear a lot of Darren Gray in my truck. And then I was listening to a lot of VUA for a while until we got everything right. Now I'm not listening to it for a while. You know, it's kind of cheesy, but Korn I like a lot because I just really love his voice. Brand new. I don't know anything that's on commercial radio and that's where I hear stuff lately. That I love to death. You know, there's things that I like that I've always liked or whatever that they still play, but you know, I don't know, not much on VH1.
You've taken your kids to a couple concerts lately, though, right?
Yeah, well, I took her to Korn. We went to Korn. I took her to Darren Gray. I took Sophie. I forget where I took
Japanese
Sophie.
Japanese artist that you.
Darren Gray. That's right, the Japanese one. Yeah.
That's the cool thing. Like I mean, he's got two young daughters, and he's like totally the dad, and like you know, he's like a. Like a ridiculous chef too. Like in addition to all the music stuff that he does, I mean, he headed up a restaurant. He was chief chef at a restaurant and managed a restaurant for a few years. And you know, he made a conscious decision to basically take a few years away from rock and roll and you know raise his kids and hone in on his cooking skills and all this other stuff. So you know, there's all this stuff out on the internet about like. Oh, the guy just dropped off the face of the earth. No, I mean, he's been doing what he wanted to do. And I think that's important for people to know. You know, he's got other interests above and beyond music. He's got a family. He's got daughters who are, you know, beautiful kids, you know, who come out and hang out around the studio and they're proud of their dad. And, you know, and there's something to be said for that. I mean, how many, you know, you'd be selfish about it and you go, I got to get the next record out and I got to go on tour. Or you could do what Chuck did and basically go, look, I'm going to be a dad for a few years and I'm going to explore these other things. And, you know.
On whether or not I'll be too old to go out on tour.
Hey, you're never too old to go out on tour. And I don't know if this is an appropriate question.
I don't think so either, but I can't wait to go, actually.
Very, very cool. And you mentioned your daughters. And I read one place that you said one of them was a handful. Which one is that?
Oh, well, that's the older one, but that's just because she's just like me. And we're both stubborn, and we just butt heads. That's how it is. But she's beautiful, and she's really talented and smart. And she speaks fluent Japanese.
Yeah, she's into, like, anime and stuff like that?
Yeah, she is. She's into anime, and that's the one that's into Darren Gray, obviously. I took her to see Shonen Knife a while ago, and that's a band that I saw when I was like older than her, and then she was all into them all of a sudden. I was happy to take her. We got autographs and stuff like that, and yeah, she's real smart, and she just keeps to herself. So, and we're just we butt heads, but she's me.
That's great though to see a little version of you.
Might be great. Might be scary to some people, but for now it's okay.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, Chuck, I appreciate both you guys coming down here and hanging out with both Talking Metal and Talking Rock. And we're not going to end right now. We are going to continue, and we are going to take a tour of the Gibson Showroom, which used to be the site of a very famous recording studio, the Hit Factory. And I know, Michael, you're excited about that part.
I'm a total geek about this stuff, and it's the one time I won't even make any apologies for it. You know, that's it.
Cool. From the day I was born, I took the bar, the horn, and get me ready to score. Oh my God! They said in the song that life was getting reserved, but the acting that survived was my island, huh? It is just a writer. 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 Billy. It is just a writer. Roddy. It is just a writer. Mikey. It is just a writer. Chip. I didn't know.
a little Chuck Mosley with Faith No More right there. Classic stuff. Introduce yourself. And a big thanks to Nick for suggesting that. Nick from New Zealand. Great to hear from you, Nick. Thanks for emailing us here at Talking Metal. John, let's end with some of your stuff. Like It is your band that you've been playing with a long time now. And what's going on with Like It? Any upcoming gigs happening?
Oh, yeah. So you know what? The reason there are no current upcoming gigs is because of me, unfortunately, and that's because I'm just trying to map out Ace Frehley dates for 2018. And once I get that under control, then I'm going to schedule some Like It shows. And I'm hoping to do one within the next, you know, 30 days, if possible, because I just want to get back out there. In 1 year, so Like It's been back in action for a total of 1 year. And in that year, we started New Year's Eve last year, opening up for the Dives, which is a band that was at the time fronted by Paul Stanley's son. Apparently, Evan Stanley has left the Dives. I've just been informed about that. But that was our first gig. That was last New Year's Eve. So Like It's been going back in action for a year now. And in that year, we've done a bunch of great gigs.
Cool.
The Dives gig. We did a gig with Warrior Soul. We did a gig with Brett Michaels. We did a gig with Winger just most recently. And we've done some shows on our own. And it's been crazy. We've had a lot of fun. Mark, I'd love to get you as a guest guitar player on a Like It show coming up soon at some point.
I'd love that.
And you know all those tunes. Like It, Talking Metal listeners, Mark knows everybody in Like It just as well as I know everybody in Like It. So,
I was a diehard Like It fan for a number of years.
Mark and I were both Like It fans back in the old days, and we both thought, and I was, Mark, I once again, when I'm referring to that I value your opinions, you once said that you thought Like It would be one of the New York bands to get signed to a major label deal.
And, I was wrong.
And unfortunately, they haven't. it hasn't happened. That was. I'm not faulting you for that. I am saying
I would have signed them, but yeah.
If you were the head of a label, you would have signed them. No, Like It was a great band, still is a great band, and we're definitely gonna do some more gigs. I would imagine we'll open up for some more bands, a la Winger, a la Brett Michaels, a la Warrior Soul, a la the Dives, but we're looking forward to a great 2018. We have believe it or not, we debuted a new song, which is not what you're going to hear, but we have a new song called Public Disorder. And let me tell you what happened with that. I'm going to give you the brief explanation. One of the members of Like It was arrested.
Oh, no.
And we've deemed him a public disorder. So.
All right, leave it at that.
He's really not, but we've jokingly deemed him that because the arrest was false.
I think I saw something about this on Facebook, but I won't mention it.
It might have been on the Citizen app, which said there was a blonde-haired, long-haired, knife-wielding maniac running around the East Village, but it wasn't true. It was totally false, as I'm saying. This is half comedy, but half true. Let me tell you guys, I'm totally joking, but we have a new song called Public. We couldn't decide if it was Public Disturbance, Disturber, or Disorder. And I voted for Disorder, and we let Night Bob, one of the most amazing, if not the most amazing sound man in the world, NITEBOB, look him up. It will be a treat to look him up, guys. Let me tell you, he sided with me and said it should be called Disorder.
Okay, but that's not what you're going to play us right now to take us out.
No,
you're playing us something
that's
else.
That's the newest Like It song, Public Disorder, co-written by the band Like It. We're going to play you a rough mix now for all you rockers out there who aren't aware of what a rough mix is. A rough mix is a version of a song before the final version has yet been completed or even recorded or mixed. So this is like when you go into the studio and you kind of get your song half done and you get like a little mix of it so you can listen to it at home. That's called a rough mix. And this is a rough mix of the song My Way by Like It.
Cool.
And this was recorded in the same room, Mark, that we recorded some of the Captain Teen Astronomy songs.
Really? Where?
IAR.
Okay.
Institute of Audio Research. Remember that place?
Yes. They're still doing stuff?
They were. Unfortunately, I think they are now done. I think the It recording was the very last one ever. Well, it has sadly ended. So no more of that. But we recorded.
Who was that guy who recorded us there?
Richard Blakin.
Yeah, is he still work there?
I don't think he still does anymore. I don't think anybody does anymore. But I think when I was in there last, I saw like Golden Platinum Records on the wall to Richard Blakin. So I think he was still part of it. I got to get in touch with him now.
Is that where that guy Dennis Latman was from?
Here's the sad news. I was going to break this to you.
Yeah. No, I know.
One of my best ever friends, Dennis Latman. It's confirmed that he has passed away.
Yeah, I Googled it, and I actually found his son's Facebook page.
Oh, wow.
And saw some pictures up there, and it was like of Dennis and his son, and then there was some caricature of Dennis drawn, and it said, "Dad would have loved this," and I was like, oh, yeah, he's gone. What happened?
Yeah, I didn't want to ask. I didn't want to even find out if it, in fact, did happen. And I don't know if it was Richard Blakin who told me or somebody else who told me. I think it was somebody else that it did, in fact, happen. And I'm so sad about that. Because
this was
Dennis,
a great guy. He used to introduce one of our first gigs in the New York area.
Baby gigs, yeah.
Yeah, which was great and a real character of a guy. Yeah,
he's a great guy. The greatest thing, Dennis Latman, look, he had a full head of reddish blonde hair. And one time he showed up at my apartment, which was on 32nd Street between 5th and Madison with this guy. And you know, at like midnight, there's a knock at the door, and you know, you're on. Keep in mind, people, this is a block away from the Empire State Building. So I get a knock at my door at like 2-3 in the morning, and it's Dennis Latman. I love him. He's with this guy. He brings this guy and says, "This is my friend." It takes me about 5 to 10 minutes to realize that this isn't his real friend. This is just a homeless guy that tagged along with him, and. He was hanging in my place, and I just said, "No offense, sir. I'm really sorry, but you know, you might have to take off." And so Dennis stayed, but the homeless guy split. And no offense to homeless people, but
wow.
Yeah, that was a great Dennis Latman story. The greatest thing Dennis Latman ever did, other than his amazing engineering, is that we once went to Penn Station, and he went up to a pizza place, and we had no money. Somehow we were rocking zero cash at the time. And he said, "Look, can we have some pizza? And I'll pay you next Tuesday." And they said, "Yeah." And they gave us a bunch of pizzas. And sure enough, he paid them the following Tuesday. Wow. I don't know how that was worked out, but that happened. A lot of great things. There was my favorite story is the one time that a crew of us went into a restaurant. And this is, you know, I'm a dude from Pennsylvania. I didn't know about antipasta bars that were in like high end restaurants where the waiter goes over and selects different things like roasted peppers or like asparagus or whatever you want, and he puts them on a plate. I thought that was the buffet for the random jerks hanging out at bars, so I went and had my hands all in it. These people came over and they said, drop the gun. They were like, drop the food. And because wow. That was the food that had to be given to the people in the entire restaurant. And I fingered it all up, probably coughed all over it. But anyway,
yeah.
that was one of the great Dennis Latman stories. He was amazing. IAR, Richard Blakin, like it.
Right.
You know, we're rocking. We have a new great engineer. His name is Dan. He worked with Keith Richards. And So you definitely,
because I edit these episodes together. So just to clarify, you definitely can get me this rough mix.
I can get you the track.
Okay. All
yeah,
right.
I posted
right.
it on Make Facebook.
Sure you did. Okay. Well, send me an MP3
so it's out
if you
there.
Can.
It's out there. I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it.
AIF or whatever you want to send over. Just send it over.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to hear this.
Now, this
classic
is a rough
song,
mix, guys.
But a new
totally
version
rough.
Of it. Yeah.
Yeah. My Way, old song. There's probably an old version of this somewhere online, but I'm going to give you the current version, which is a rough mix. We're gonna do some touch-ups on it, and we're going to re-record parts of it, but we're going to rock it, and that's like it.
Cool.
You got to come and
Can't
check
wait
us
to hear
out.
This. Yeah.
Check us out.
Plug
Mark,
the website
I want to get you on
go.
Stage with Like It. Maybe the next gig, you can come up and do a guest appearance.
I'd love
Would
it.
Like
I
that?
Can't do it. If it's out in Long Island, I can't do it. But if it's like in the city or Jersey, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Kiss Nation, Bill May is playing at Dingbats. I think we're going to go to that.
Oh, when is this?
In April.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So we're going to check that out, Emily and I.
Bill May and I and like it in the different camps, as they would say if you're a fan of Kiss. The different camps are in discussions about the prized opening slot.
Okay.
I'm kidding. But maybe we'll play that gig with him. That sounds good.
Yeah, you should.
Half kidding, people.
All right, man. Well, let's check this song out, and we'll call it a day here. A lot of good music. Cool. Thanks to you, John. And
thank you.
Good classic
interview.
I'm
trying to bring some of the vibe back, you know? Some of the
right on.
Old vibe.
Right on. Definitely. And, you know, you mentioned Bud Friendly earlier in the episode.
How is he? Is he still alive?
Yeah. Well, I see the guy who played the part of Bud Friendly all the time. But as far as Bud Friendly goes, the character, no, he's not really alive. He hasn't been on a Talking Metal episode since the 500th episode. So it's been quite a while at this point. But we should bring him back into the Talking Metal fold. We have such a history here on Talking Metal with John and Bud Friendly and so many different people through the years. If you don't know the history, I mean, John and I used to have a TV show. They're all up there on YouTube, Talking Metal on Fuse. And we did stuff on Metal Moments on VH1, Least Metal Moments.
Most metal moments, freakiest concert moments.
We hosted some Headbangers Ball episodes. I mean, just such a long history.
Lots
and of course,
of stuff.
This podcast has been going since 2005, so there's a lot of stuff to go back and rediscover, like that Chuck Mosley interview that we re-aired here today, if you will. And on that note, let's get out of here, John. Again, My Way, The Rough Mix.
An exclusive
here, I guess, on Talking Metal.
Yeah,
as far
total
as,
exclusive.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Talk to you next time, John.
There's only one way. Monday!